Thank you. The study I'll talk about today doesn't involve the comparisons between the U.S. and Japan, but the larger study that from which this data comes, and my larger study does involve that comparison. Here, I'll just be focusing on the U.S. And here's my collaborators from the University of Michigan School of Public Health and also our Department of Sociology at University of Albany. I think I did this right. Presenter disclosures, no relationships to disclose. Here's just my grant that this study comes from the National Institutes of Health and National Institutes on Aging. So I was interested in ongoing surveillance studies suggest a decline in drinking as people get older. My focus is on older adults. My research focuses on older adults. So I was interested in this decline, which is these surveillance studies focus mostly or almost exclusively on cross-sectional data from people at different age groups. And as you can see, the declines, you know, older adults are still drinking, but at rates much lower than younger adults. And that decline starts at about in midlife, in 30s, 40s, people start to drink less. And this here, I'm just showing whether or not people current drinking rates and also prevalence of heavy drinking. So I was interested, though, how do individuals change their drinking patterns as they get older? And that would require longitudinal data following the same individuals over time to monitor their drinking patterns as they get older. And I was also particularly interested in looking at whether current and new generations of or cohorts of aging adults, whether their drinking patterns are likely to be different than older adults in our that people that are currently older, over 65 and beyond. So, and then I was also interested in looking at what health and psychosocial factors might shape different patterns of change in alcohol use as people get older. Those are my main research questions. The data come from the Americans Changing Lives Survey. It's not an alcohol study per se, but there are measures of alcohol use that we used in this study. It's a nationwide panel study of people ages 25 and older, starting in 1986, and the sample size started at about 3,600 people, and over time it dropped off to all the way down to 1787 and 2002. What we have with these four waves of data, though, is 10,833 observations of 3,617 individuals. So many individuals were observed four times, others were observed three times, some two, some one. The measure of alcohol use that was in this survey are just self-report questions about drinking patterns in the past month, asking a series of questions that sort of build on each other. Do you ever drink beer, wine, or liquor? On how many days do you drink these alcohol products? And then on the days that you drink, how many cans, glasses, and so on do you drink? So we combine this to create a continuous measure of alcohol of drinks per month, but this is a heavily skewed, as you can imagine, distribution with many people reporting no drinks per month at all. So what we did was we categorized it into three categories, and we wanted to categorize it into meaningful categories. So we looked at the epidemiologic evidence in the guidelines for drinking and made these cut points where abstainers were people who reported no drinks per month, moderate drinkers 1 through 30 for women or 1 through 60 for men, and then heavy drinkers were greater than that. And you can see the distribution there. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these measures, but these here we had a series of pretty good psychosocial and health measures, self-report measures to, again, used to try to predict individual differences in patterns of change in alcohol use with these looking at people's social lives and their other lifestyles. The analysis we used was a multi-level, multinomial Loget model. This was multinomial because the dependent variable was these categories of alcohol use, three categories: abstain, moderate drinking, or heavy drinking. So those are three separate categories. Multi-level because we were observing individuals, but nested within individuals was a series of observations. So the observations are nested within individuals. That makes it a multi-level model. And we adjusted for attrition and we measured time with time since baseline, so in years. So a measurement that was taken 10 years past baseline, the time would be 10. And then what we get from this analysis are odds ratios representing change in the odds of abstinence or heavy drinking relative to moderate drinking. I forgot to mention, we use moderate drinking as the reference category. And so these odds ratios were sort of predicted change in the odds of abstinence or heavy drinking over time. And 5 years, we standardized time. So a one-unit change in time is the equivalent to about 5 years of time since baseline. So here's our first part of the model. It looks at abstinence versus moderate drinking. And the key odds ratio in this model is the 1.37, which suggests that the odds of turning to abstinence, the odds of abstinence versus moderate drinking increased by about 37% with each 5 years of advancing age in the population. So we, as people get older, every 5 years, the odds of abstinence from drinking increases by about 37%. In model 2A, we see some baseline, some age differences. This is where the cohort differences come into play. Older adults, the 1.7 suggests that older adults are more likely to be abstinent than younger adults. And the 1.08 here is an interaction suggesting that with advancing age over time, in other words, older, the progress towards abstinence is faster for older adults. People who are older more readily turn to abstinence than people over time than people who are younger. And this is just depicts that the estimates from that model. And you can see the bold line are people who are age. These are the predicted changes in odds. The bold line is people age 65 at baseline. Dashed is age 25. And as you can see, the older adults are turning to abstinence more readily than the younger adults. But what we did is we spread these two lines out across an x-axis that is their age. And what we did was we then extrapolated to see what if these patterns continue on as they did during the course of the study period, what would they look like as people got older and older and older. So we're looking at in the first line that you see, the solid part is the study period that where we actually observed these individuals. The X outline is the extrapolations beyond the study period. And this first line are people age 25 at baseline. And so what you can see is despite the fact that during the study period, they're advancing towards abstinence at a slower rate than the older adults, the second line. If this pattern continues, it looks like this younger cohort of adults, when they get to older age, they're going to be more likely to be abstinent from drinking than those older adults who are currently age 65 and above. When we looked at heavy drinking versus moderate use, we see that people are less likely to drink heavily versus moderate drinking over time. The decrease in the odds of heavy drinking is about 18% for every 5 years of advancing age. But there's no difference in age, no differences by age. So the plots look like this, where the older cohort is declining at the equivalent rate as the younger cohort. But again, the next slide, what we do is we spread this out across an x-axis that shows age for each advancing year and extrapolate up to age 95. And these two solid lines are the exact same lines that you saw on the previous slide, but when we extrapolate and spread these out to cover their real ages during the study period and then extrapolate beyond, you can see that the younger cohort, if they follow the same pattern that they're following during the study period, would be much less likely to be drinking heavily at, say, age 65 and beyond than the current cohort of older adults. Then we also, as I mentioned before, we added some time-varying predictors, these psychosocial health and variables to look at what is the association between changes in social lives and changes in health behaviors and changes in health and the odds of abstinence and heavy drinking. And you can see that these associations, many of these variables were associated with abstinence, a few were associated with heavy drinking. So just to sort of summarize this, what we found was that the odds of abstinence increased and the odds of heavy drinking decreased during the study period. Older adults experienced faster increases in abstinence than younger adults. However, these data extrapolations that we did suggest that the current younger adults are more likely to be abstinent and less likely to be heavy drinkers during late life than the current older adults are. And then we found some associations with these health, social, and lifestyle factors. So the question then is drinking behavior in our aging population on a relatively promising course? On the one hand, the current findings suggest that this may be the case. And there's also been trends in the United States showing a decline in per capita consumption during the latter years of the 20th century. There's other studies, though, that data from NHANES suggest that recent cohorts are expected to drink more than earlier cohorts. And so our studies are sort of at odds in that regard. And there does seem to be, in some circles, concerns about the prospects of alcohol problems increasing in future cohorts on the assumption that there's greater social acceptance of alcohol these days. The main limitation is confounding of aging period and cohort effects. We can't be sure that when our current younger adults are going to, what they're going to look like when they become older adults. So these are just extrapolations. And we can learn a little bit about how these patterns might change by looking at the associations we found between the social, psychological, and health predictors. And I can talk more about that if anyone has questions about that. But my time's up now. So thank you. We have time for a couple questions, I believe. Yes.
You have a mortality in the analysis. And a second question is, when we run past, I didn't catch the effect of poor health, but I thought it was more abstinence. Is that right?
Poor health was associated with more abstinence. And so what I was referring to about the cohort effects was that we saw this prediction of younger cohorts being more abstinent in later life, but if we can expect the younger cohort to be healthier than the current cohort of older adults, then that increase in abstinence may actually be sort of attenuated because healthier people are drinking more than unhealthier people. About mortality, we controlled for mortality by we had dummy variables in the model that identified individuals who died at any point during the study, and we also had another dummy variable that identified people who dropped out for other reasons and maybe even came back. But that's how we did it. Other questions? Yes. I think that's another research question, but I think that I wouldn't, I don't know, I wouldn't refer that to that as a limitation, but actually, you know, maybe an explanation for the findings. But I think that's probably true. I don't deny that the younger cohorts are finding their own ways to, you know, cope with problems and entertain themselves. Yes. It was face-to-face surveys. In some of the follow-up waves, if they couldn't track people down, there were some that were telephone surveys. But and I didn't control for that differences in mode. But you know, the large majority were face-to-face.